Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care, and we are Nila Nijone Gosha Bosya Nijone Gosha Bosya. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Oh, my God, yeah, you are.
Music from Hopi singer-songwriter Clark Denahongva from his Canyon Records CD, Hear My Song, Hear My Prayer. That particular song from the Hopi Mesas was entitled The Purple and Yellow Corn Is My Mother. To the Hopi, the people of peace, as well as to many other native peoples, corn is a symbol of life. Indian corn is sacred. Years ago, when I was working on the In Defense of Sacred Lands project to protect native lands from further desecration by energy and natural resource development, I had the honor to stay with traditional Diné Navajo, Hopi, and Pueblo peoples in the region now called the United States Southwest. While each of those Indian communities, as well as all other indigenous nations of the Americas, are culturally different from one another, we all share in the belief in the sacredness of Mother Earth. Many of our tribes use corn in our ceremonies. For example, I had the privilege to be invited to a number of Hopi naming ceremonies where newborns are given a perfect ear of corn, symbolizing a prayer for a long and healthy life. While living with Diné Navajo, I was honored to participate in corn pollen blessings to Mother Earth. Corn to my people, the Wabanaki, is also not only one of our most important food crops, as it is for all native people who grow maize, but likewise is used in ceremony. In fact, our traditional Wabanaki New Year ceremony, Sequana Kiwash, is during the springtime moon when we plant corn with prayers. In this way, we offer our appreciation to the Creator, Great Spirit, to Mother Earth and all the relations. Kanan Wantakwasin. I wish to read Clark Tenahongva's CD liner notes about the song we just heard. The purple and yellow corn is my mother, and I quote, "The purple and yellow corn is my mother. The corn has blessed me to be strong, to have the wisdom, to have the knowledge, to carry life forward into the next generation. We have brought this wisdom and knowledge to you, my people, so that you will live a happy and long and truthful life, and that you will see the future is to come. To the future, you will give the knowledge and wisdom that you and I are blessed with now. Let us be happy. Let us enjoy life. Be happy, my child. Be happy, my people." Unquote. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Today's program, we share the spirit of Wahkachobi with an interview with Dr. Susan Carter and Rosie Emery. These two fine persons, like us here at Yat Kiddushi Native Center, have reverence for Mother Earth and concern for the well-being of all life. the three of us came together and created the Wauchatobie Earth Charter Project. The Wauchatobie Earth Charter Project exists to promote Earth ethics and to inspire everyone to be concerned for the future well-being of our planet, guided by the native principle of the seventh generation. As listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, this indigenous ethic refers to understanding how one's actions impacts Mother Earth and those yet unborn generations of life unto seven generations to come. Wauchatobie is a Seminole and Miccosukee native term for the water bird Great Blue Heron. This beautiful bird is honored by many North American Indian peoples. This marsh bird represents the native ethic of peace. Clan mothers and chiefs who wore the feather of Great Blue Heron and who spoke with the feather in council were known as peacekeepers. Intertribal representatives who served as ambassadors carried a wing feather from Wauchatobie as a sign of their integrity and concern for the well-being of Mother Earth and our life. Our Wauchatobie Earth Charter Project was established in this Earth ethic spirit. Our project's name was chosen to honor this place of Mother Earth where we live, Pahayogi. Pahayogi is the Seminole and Miccosukee word for this very special but highly endangered ecosystem, the Florida Everglades, an area now called South Florida. We humans are living in a very important time in Earth's history. The choices we make today will determine the future of our life on Earth. Now, in the early years of the new millennium, it is imperative that humankind come together and build a just, sustainable, and peaceful global society that also cares for the health of our global environment. This is the concept of the Earth Charter. The Earth Charter is an important worldwide movement of people from all over the globe. It is a guide for all of humanity to live together in peace. The Earth Charter is a declaration that calls for a clean and healthy environment, social justice, human rights, cultural diversity, religious freedom, biodiversity, economic equity, equality of women, caring for children and youth, respecting indigenous peoples' sovereignty and self-determination, and creating sustainable societies. These concepts of the Earth Charter reflect the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples, our ancient tribal laws that have been passed down from generation to generation. We indigenous peoples still follow this natural law, the principle of the seventh generation. The Wauchatobie Project endorses the Earth Charter. We teach about the Earth Charter because of its ethical and ecological concern for contemporary planetary problems. The Earth Charter provides a hopeful means to address the many complex and diverse global issues of the 21st century. Our Wauchatobie Project follows the values and principles of the Earth Charter through our programs of education, communication, and community action. The Wauchatobie Project is more than just another environmental education curriculum. It is a pedagogy that encourages inclusion of many diverse cultural knowledges and wisdoms. It is an educational model based on holistic learning. The old typical Western so-called scientific approach of learning is too dogmatic. Education must encompass a range of thought and study that respects the spirit of nature as well as the form and biochemistry of the natural world. This pedagogy is a type of teachings indigenous peoples can gift the world with in this critical time of history where all life is dependent upon humanity protecting our biosphere and living together in peace and harmony with all life. The Earth Charter summarizes this need in four aspects. 1. Respect and care for the community of life. 2. Ecological integrity. 3. Social and economic justice. 4. Democracy, nonviolence, and peace. The Wauchatobie Project focuses on education, both adults and youth, who will be our future world citizens, is to develop a sense of wonder for the Earth that germinates a concern to protect our planet. The Wauchatobie Project promotes people's understanding of the interconnection and relevance of all species. Our goal is to encourage everyone to participate in caring for the community of life. It is my special honor to share my conversation with my fellow co-founders of the Rocketrophy Earth Charter Project, Dr. Susan Carter and Rosie Emery. Before we listen to my program guests, let me share some brief bio background on Dr. Carter and Rosie Emery. Dr. Susan Carter was a well-respected educator with a dedication to K-12 curriculum design and language arts instruction. Her professional career in education has encompassed teaching English, social studies, and French. Sue Carter continues her consulting services for at-risk school programs, as well as tutorial for special needs students. Sue Carter is an experienced business and grant writer. Her organizational management background provides the Rocketrophy Earth Charter Project with administrative skills. Dr. Carter's concern for a better world is evidenced in her volunteer work with a number of community and conservation organizations. Dr. Carter is specifically committed to practicing and promoting the principles of the Earth Charter. Rosie Emery is an accomplished environmental educator and singer-songwriter. Concerned with global environmental deterioration, Rosie has performed numerous concerts to teach how all of life is interconnected. Her Rainbow Roadshow production reaches out to children, awakening their sense of wonder for the earth. This show continues to be performed in numerous North American schools, camps, nature centers, and concert halls. Rosie also has 3 beautiful music CDs and an educational songbook. Rosie Emery has been featured in a number of television specials. She co-hosted and performed on the first Canadian Earth Day television special. Rosie is currently working with Southwest Florida's WGCU Television to further develop their Curious Kids Club website. She will be performing in a variety of WGCU outreach events and developing a unique Curious Kids school program. Rosie Emery's environmental education experience has provided many teachers with innovative ways in which to incorporate the arts into environmental education. Rosie's musical message of hope, empathy, and action have captivated millions of children across North America and around the world. A brief bio on myself as co-founder of Rocketrophy Earth Charter Project. Ernest Arthur Pritzker is an internationally recognized native ecologist and journalist. He is director of Yaak-Kiddishi Native Center, an intertribal cultural, environmental, social justice, educational news media organization. Ernest's professional and personal concern for ecology and earth ethics has enabled him to attend many international conferences. Since his service as a U.S. Peace Corps Environment Program volunteer, he has traveled throughout the world as a speaker and environmental social justice human rights activist. Serving on the board of advisors of Radio for Peace International, he is host and producer of a global community radio program honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. It is broadcast throughout the world. Ernest is a curriculum advisor and lecturer at Florida Gulf Coast University. He was appointed by Florida Gulf Coast University's president to the board of advisors of the University Center for Environment and Sustainability Education. Well, dear friends, that's a brief bio on the 3 of us co-founders of the Rocketrophy Earth Charter Project. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yaak-Kiddishi Native Center. At this time, it is my pleasure to welcome Rosie Emery and Dr. Sue Carter to the program. And let me begin by asking you, Rosie Emery, to share with our listening audience some of your thoughts about why you are concerned about the well-being of the environment and how you work through your very fine environmental education and singer-songwriter concerts to promote the goals and principles of the Rocketrophy Project.
Thank you, Ernest. My name is Rosie, as you said, and I am a teacher of how we're all interconnected. I use my songwriting capacity and my entertaining performer capacity to teach children throughout North America how we are all interconnected. And my goal is always to inspire in others understanding of how all of life is connected and that how each part of life plays its role, plays its part, and that we too are an integral part of that whole web of life. So I do this through the songs that I write and the stories that I tell. I learn stories, mythology from all over the world, because I feel that stories help us to find our sense of belonging, a sense of a cosmology, a sense of who we are. Often children really don't have that feeling today. I don't think many children necessarily even really think about it. Whereas before, in times gone by, children did listen to stories at night. They had more of a sense of being, a sense of place. And I think part of today's disassociation with our world, the life around us, our ability to not be concerned so much about our fellow beings comes from that sense of disconnection. So that's what I do through music, through story, through developing programs. I work with children, teaching how we're all interconnected.
I came to Florida from Michigan a couple of years ago, and in Michigan I worked as a teacher and language arts coordinator and developed curriculum. So when I came to Florida and met the Earth Charter of Sanibel folks who introduced me to the Earth Charter, I became interested in environmental and earth education programs and teaching about life on Earth and our future here. And I started developing curriculum for the Earth Scouts organization, which is part of Earth Charter USA. So now I'm working with the Wauchatchobe Earth Charter Project, developing programs and materials for our project, involving myself in other environmental activities here in Florida.
One of the concerns I and many Native people have, and I think many educators also share, is the question of how do we reach our young people, our future generations, to become concerned about Mother Earth and the well-being of all life, to become active in what I call the war against Mother Earth that is being waged by the desecration and destruction of nature, our ecology. I'm always interested to ask our guests when I talk about this subject, how was it in their personal lives that they became concerned or interested in the environment, in conservation? For Native people, especially myself as example, I was really born into this concern for Mother Earth. It is part of our culture, part of the principle of the seventh generation, our natural law by the Creator that I often speak about, not only here on the radio, but on the Wauchatchobe Project curriculum. The importance of thinking about how our thoughts and actions impact seven future generations. And for me, as a Native person, especially those of us in contemporary times, we are born in a situation where most of our traditional homelands, when in English is called reservations, I don't like that term, I use the term community lands, are always under a constant assault, primarily from energy and natural resource development schemes. And I grew up, of course, like many Native people, very poor, and I worked as a farm worker, raking blueberries and working cranberry bogs. And of course, I worked in the woods doing some firewood harvesting. And I was always confronted by issues affecting our sacred lands. For example, the poisoning of our communities from multinational forest companies, pulp and paper mills in particular, as well as large agricultural enterprises that would use pesticides, herbicides, insecticides, and fertilizers that were not only toxic to us Native people, but also to the animal and plant relations that are part of our life, part of our community. And of course, in more recent times, Native communities throughout the world have been targets for toxic high-level waste sites, radioactive nuclear waste sites, uranium mining, oil and gas development. The list is nearly endless. So for me and for many Native people, the reason why we are so-called environmentalists is not only it being of cultural importance to us, but also the fact that we were really, in a sense, born into the war to defend our homelands and protect Mother Earth. But let me ask you, Dr. Carter, first, what was it in your personal life that was a spark that made you become concerned and willing to work for the protection of the environment.
When I was a child, my parents took us out on, I suppose you'd call them field trips, family outings in nature, in the woods and along the lake, and we used to vacation in Canada every summer for a month on Lake Erie. And our parents taught us to respect nature and to take care of the earth. I never really thought about it consciously until later in life I realized that the earth is not being taken care of sometimes. We now have a cottage in Canada at the very place where we used to vacation when I was a child, and the bay there has become polluted by runoff from the farms, and I've learned the effect of those things happening and value very much the beach at Lake Erie and the Lake Erie environment that has been preserved by so many people's efforts. So when I came to Florida, this was something that was natural for me to be thinking about, how to avoid using fertilizers and pesticides and how to protect the environment in so many other ways.
Thank you. And I'd like to ask that same question to you, Rosie Emery. What was it in your personal life that made you become an environmentalist?
Well, I think I was very fortunate because I was actually born in Malaysia, and then I moved to England, and I grew up in a very special place called Sherwood Forest. And because I wasn't at school, I mean, I had a governess because there weren't any schools around, I spent most of my childhood up until the age of 10, when I was sent away to school, in nature. And to me, there was just never a separation between myself and the earth. The earth was always, that was where I went to talk. I talked with the creatures, I talked with the trees. There was just no separation. If I prayed, it was to Mother Earth. I didn't really consciously think about it in that way. Although, perhaps looking back, I realized that the tree, I spoke once before when I was here, there was an old oak tree called the Major Oak that I used to spend a lot of time in because it's hollow inside, it's very old. So I think just by osmosis I learned my connection with the earth. It was there from when I was very young.
on the native drum, Black Eagle from the Jemez Pueblo, off their Sound of America record CD, Flying Free. That particular song was entitled Beautiful Jingle Dancer. And as you could hear in the background music, there was the sound of these very beautiful jingles that really originated from the Anishinaabe, people of the Great Lakes region of what's now called North America. They are commonly also known as Ojibwa, Chippewa. And my understanding of the jingle dress, if you look at the beautiful regalia of a native woman, usually a young dancer, there's approximately 350 tin cones or jingles. And when the woman dances, of course, that beautiful jingle dress tends to make a beautiful sound like the wind. And we consider each jingle a particular prayer. And because there's 350 jingles on most dresses traditionally, that means each jingle represents one day of prayer in our traditional way of life. So the jingle dress is a very important and very special dance song that you'll see many young women performing in the powwows. And I wanted to share that because it brings me to my next question, and that is to you, Rosie Emery. I know you do some very beautiful music concerts. The Rosie Rainbow Roadshow is one in particular that I've had the pleasure of listening and watching you present to primarily young audiences. And you're also involved in educating young people with WGCU here in the university at Florida Gulf Coast University through their Curious Kids Club television program. Would you please talk a little bit more about this project, the WGCU TV Curious Kids website, and some of your fine work as an environmental educator that integrate arts with environmental education?
Well, what I'm doing now is I'm developing a project with WGCU Public Media. They have a Curious Kids Club, which is a website that is dedicated to children teaching about ecology in Southwest Florida. And right now I'm working with them to develop this website and to look at the possibility of doing some outreach projects in the schools that interact with the website, and also, you know, going into the schools with my concert and developing programs for the schools that basically based on water, how we are all interconnected through water. And this project, it's under development at the moment, but the goal is to have children really seeing how not only their own lives are connected through water, but also the lives of all the wildlife around, and how actually, if you reach out further into the community, and nationally and globally, we are all interconnected through water. So I'm in the process of developing that whole project right now, and hope to connect it to other areas of the country and then also internationally into Canada, where I come from. Also using music, history, mythology to teach this, not just, well, we're just going to learn about the local wildlife, but we're also going to learn about art, artists that live in the area. We're going to learn about the people, the First Nations people that were here long, long ago, how they used the land, their relationship to the land, the stories that they tell, things like that. And music, of course.
Been here since the world began, long before the birth of man. And every time I hear your call, I realize I'm so very small. I wish that I could know you, graceful with could wave my wand and see you playing with your family. patiently, and maybe you will come for me. I wish that I could know you graceful and
song was entitled Mighty Monarch of the Ocean, sung by singer-songwriter Rosie Emery from her fine CD, We're All Interconnected. Rosie Emery has several special music CDs and an environmental songbook, all of which can be ordered through her website, www.interconnected.ca. You can also contact us here at Yat Kitishi Native Center, since I have the pleasure to be a co-founder of the Wauketchobe Earth Charter Project, along with my two very special guests here in the studio, Dr. Susan Carter and Rosie Emery. In today's program introduction, I mentioned that our Wauketchobe Earth Charter Project exists to promote Earth ethics and to inspire everyone to be concerned for the future well-being of our planet. We try to do this by teaching and practicing the principles of the Earth Charter through example, education, communication, and community action. Our project focuses a lot on education, especially youth, our next generation, to learn about Mother Earth and the concepts of the Earth Charter. We believe this will encourage young people to have a better appreciation and understanding of the interconnections of the web of life. Hopefully, this will motivate young people to become active in defending Mother Earth, which of course will impact their futures. One major program of the Earth Charter, which our Wauketchobe Project is affiliated with, is Earth Scouts. Dr. Carter, you have worked very hard in developing an excellent curriculum and a teacher facilitator handbook for Earth Scouts. Your professional work in this area, I know, will awaken in children a sense of wonder for the Earth through fun and meaningful activities. I know Rosie and I look forward to working more with you in developing additional materials that will feature a diversity of cultural teachings and activities, as well as a variety of music and arts from around the world. Dr. Carter, would you please talk about the Earth Charter Earth Scouts program?
Last year, when I first learned about the Earth Charter and went to the Earth Charter Summit in October, I became quite excited and started emailing around to find people who also were involved. And I met Jan Roberts from Tampa, who was developing the Earth Scouts program, and she asked if I would work on the Earth Scouts Facilitator's Handbook to provide programs to teach the Earth Charter to children. We now have Facilitator's Handbooks for children in levels kindergarten through second grade and in grades 3 through 5. Each handbook is filled with activities that relate to each of the principles of the Earth Charter and to the introduction of the Earth Charter. The Wauwatosa Earth Charter Project is offering help with getting the materials together and learning how to put together an Earth Scouts program. So I basically work with facilitators who want to implement the Earth Scouts program and help them adapt the facilitator's handbook to their particular situation.
Indigenous peoples throughout the world live a cultural life way that, when in English is called sustainable development, it's just part of our traditional ancient way of life. We have a code of conduct, a principle or belief passed down through our elders, through our clan mothers, through our spiritual leaders, through our chiefs, commonly in English known as the principle of the seventh generation, where our thoughts and actions are considered of their long-term consequences and impact into 7 future generations into the planet. And as a result of this indigenous ethic or principle, an earth ethic of thinking about the future as long as 7 generations into the future, our tribal societies were and continue to this day, when we're not disturbed from the colonialism, to be very sustainable societies. And that, biologically speaking, indigenous peoples didn't have major ecological impact to the land and waters. We have these codes of conducts and laws that when the earth needed some rest from our gardens, we would leave that part of the land fallow for a number of years to let it recover itself, the soil fertility. We have codes of conduct that when we would hunt and fish, that we wouldn't overfish or overhunt in an area or part of the forest. And I'm very glad as an indigenous person to see now in the 21st century much of the world beginning to think about the concept of sustainability, of how we live on the earth, especially those of us who are living in North American and European developed countries, where unfortunately it seems per capita we utilize so much of the world's energy and natural resources, and also biologically speaking generate a lot of the world's pollution and waste, and therefore impact on the biosphere, impact on the planet. You, as an educator, as an environmentalist, someone that's working with the Wauwatosa Earth Charter Project, what is your personal concern about the concept of sustainability?
Thank you, Ines. Actually, until last year, I had never heard the word sustainability. I had had concerns about how many things Americans consume, and how much attention goes to acquiring material things. But I had never thought about sustainability in terms of managing to preserve enough air and water and soil, clean air, clean water, and clean soil for us all to continue existing. And as I've been working on the Earth Charter curriculum, the Earth Scouts curriculum, I have become more aware and informed about the whole concept of sustainability, and have come to realize that we have what amounts to an emergency situation on our planet. We are losing our clean water, and we're coming to the place, for example, in the Gulf of Mexico, where we may not be able to recover what we had. The coral reefs are being destroyed, and many, many fish and other sea life are being killed by the pollution of the waters. And it's very difficult for us to stop, because Florida is one of the four, I believe, most quickly developing states in the country. And as people come into the state of Florida, they need to live somewhere. So we have a conflict between development and sustainability. And we have to find ways to work together to preserve this environment we've all come to love and for which we've come to this state.
I agree with, you know, everything that Sue's just said. I think one of the main problems is that, you know, in the last 150 years in the industrialized nations, I would say, not just in the industrialized nations, all over the world, there's been a huge population growth. I originally come from England, and I know that in England, 200 years ago, many of the people that lived there, they understood very well what was going on with the land because they lived close to the land. The farmers, the people in villages understood that if there was too much rain, that was going to hurt the crops. If it was too dry, it would hurt. We were connected. The problem today is that people all over the world are disconnected. People whose cultures before were more connected, except for those that perhaps lived, you know, the richest of people that lived in the palaces who didn't really care. But even they probably cared a bit more than they did, than some of the richest do today, or I shouldn't say the richest, just people in positions of power and corporations, perhaps I should say. But to me, that is the biggest problem, is that we're totally disconnected. And so for me, that's what I seek with children, is to try to develop this sense of caring. Because if you don't care, you're not going to really make an effort to go that extra mile, to do something to change your lifestyle. Sue and I were just talking about this coming down. Why is somebody going to go out of their way to shop somewhere, for example, that sells organic food? Well, but the fact that we're going out looking for organic food is a modern problem. I mean, 50 years ago, all the food was organic because we didn't have pesticides. So these are new problems that we're looking at, and new, you know, we're all together in this, all over the world. Doesn't matter who you are, where you live, we're all affected by modernity, by the effects of modernity. And so to me, as an educator, especially with children, my goals, I try to reach that place in them that sparks the caring, that gives them a sense, again, of that sense of belonging, of wanting to make sure the local river is all right, wanting to make sure the Gulf of Mexico is okay, because they care about it. And they also see that it's in their interest to care about it, because when they grow up, they will work here, they will hope to work here, to hope to have work, that if the part that they take now is going to ensure that when they grow up, the land will still be beautiful, the air will still be breathable. So it's a sense, again, of finding responsibility, but not doing it in a doom and gloom sort of way. You know, this is, the earth's going to be terrible when you grow up if we don't stop now. But rather coming from that place of, look at this incredible place where we live. What a celebration. Let's celebrate it. Let's get to know it. Let's see how marvelous it is. And so the ways in which we can do that, I'm always seeking to find those ways. But it is something that I always say the earth will be the great equalizer of all peoples between races and cultures. We will all come together in the end because we will have to. We will have to come together to make sure there's clean water, so that there's enough food. And I hope it doesn't get to that point where it's absolutely drastic. But, you know, you talked about the Gulf of Mexico. Maybe it will get to that point. Now it's much easier, perhaps, to go to people in hotels and say, look, it's really important that, you know, you promote ethical practices vis-a-vis recycling or pollution, because otherwise your hotel's not going to have people coming, because the Gulf of Mexico will look disgusting and the beaches will look horrible. So it's in their interest. Whatever means it takes to get people on board to create a better world in terms of, you know, the environment and social justice, because let's not forget social justice. Wauchatchie is about social justice too. The Earth Charter addresses that. What good is a clean environment if the people living in that environment have no money to eat and have no health care and have miserable lives? That is not something we want either. It's complex. But again, coming back to the sense of belonging, I think as we learn more about each other locally and globally, our different cultures, we see that ultimately we all want the same things. We want to be able to live in peace. We want to be able to have some friends and family that love us, and that we can care for those people, and that we can walk outside and enjoy the beauty of Mother Earth around us in a way that is not, we're not harmed and we're not harming.
Below us. To Yatkidichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Hello there, friends. We're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. Please stay tuned next week on Radio for Peace International. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will share Program 2, a fine conversation with the Wauketrobe Earth Charter Project members, Dr. Susan Carter, Rosie Emery, and myself. The Wauketrobe Earth Charter Project exists to promote Earth ethics and to inspire everyone to be concerned for the future well-being of our planet, guided by the Native principle of the seventh generation. And that's in keeping with the song we just featured. That, of course, was John Lennon's Imagine from the very best of John Lennon EMI Records CD. A few years ago, actually in the year 2000, I had the honor of attending a very fine intertribal, intercultural gathering entitled A Gathering of the Five Colors, Mending the Sacred Hoop. The purpose was to bring the five colors of humanity into one circle in order to seek wisdom in our common struggle against racism, to break out the traps in which history holds us, to begin to create an inclusive community built on the truth of absolute equality of all people and the interconnectedness of all beings. And that's pretty much a good summary of at least my philosophy of working with the Wauketrobe Earth Charter Project. And one of the quotes from that Mending the Sacred Hoop, A Gathering of Five Colors gathering, was from the Hopi. And I'm going to read this Hopi prophecy quote. The elders knew that peace would not come on earth until the circle of humanity is complete, until all the four colors sat in the circle and shared their teachings, then peace would come on earth, unquote. We're going to conclude today's broadcast with music from Turtle Island Records and CD. It's contemporary Native American music. This particular song, I consider it an honor song to Mother Earth and the Creator, and offering our prayers as Native people do through the eagle. And this is entitled Ketchu Wekchin, sung by Koska Nuba. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio program, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio. Aho, Kinon Wontakwisin, to all of our relations.
Thank you. I stand on top of the mountain. I pray to the Great Spirit for guidance. I can feel your spirit in me. The beautiful morning that you bring. I look up in the sky. I can see the guidance. A beautiful bird flying around in a circle. I wish I could fly like you. I would fly away to a peaceful place. Spirit of the eagle, please help me. Give me the power so I could help my people. You are close to Mother Earth. I wish I could have your eyes so I can see far. Oh, Shiginewaka was there. Hey, 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 hey,